You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Welcome to the house of All Marine Radio, the house that Mac built. A whole bunch of stuff in the news today. Should we just start with the news and dispense with everything else? Maybe. John Kelly is above the fold today. Yeah, Kelly kind of makes these appearances at these small universities, right? You don't see him on TV. I don't know if he's got like a deal that, yeah, I don't want any video. I don't want any, you know, television networks in there. I'll come speak to you all. You know, if there's print media, they can sit in the back and they can take notes. But his events tend to be covered by local journalists, not by national journalists.
It's my house.
And so, John Kelly in the news. Also in the news is United States Senate, who is set to pass a war powers resolution that would limit the president's ability to do anything relative to Iran, which won't go anywhere because he'll veto it. But we'll talk about that, right? Also in the news is a story about the newspaper business in the United States is dead. D-E-A-D. And so one of the executives of, I think, Berkshire Hathaway and the McClatchy newspaper files for bankruptcy. Yeah, the McClatchy. Now, McClatchy, that's like Sacramento, California, man. There's a high school named C.K. McClatchy High School. Yeah, the McClatchy family is from Sacramento, I believe. So, but anyway, yeah, they filed for bankruptcy. And now that's just reorganization, protection, and stuff like that. It doesn't necessarily mean that the McClatchy Corporation and all their properties are out of business. What it means is they have protection while they reorganize. And, you know, so the newspaper business might be dead, but the multimedia packaging news business is not. So anyway, we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about Roger Stone a little bit. Now, I do not like the whole deep state narrative. And, you know, I have to tell you, I hate when Sean Hannity's right. It just pisses my ass off. Right? But, you know, you had people saying for months, hey, they're cooking the books at the DOJ, man. And you'd be like, come on, man. Like, what do you expect us to believe? That the people who said that they were there to support and to defend the Constitution aren't really doing that? That's what you want us to believe. Well, sports fans, we all know what happened, right? So anyway, they're yesterday, full of indignation, evidently, the jury four men, four women, four person. Anyway, one of those people, who are all in fact the same people, is a Democratic activist from Memphis, Tennessee. And she went on CNN and said, I can no longer be silent. That's the version I read. And then, so people, she said, I was a jury foreman, and the president intruding in the sentencing portion of the Roger Stone case is like wrong, and I want to back up the prosecutors, blah, blah, blah. Well, then they start, as they do now, they start looking at all your social media, right? They start looking at your tweets from when you were like 13 years old, if you had a Twitter account and your parents were stupid enough to allow that. And so people just start scrolling through it, and she's tweeting right during the trial, but nobody knows she's on the trial. Right. So now, you know, and so it's like, are you kidding me? Come on. Right. Like, and you know, like the crazies are just going to have a field day. The crazies are just going to have a field day with this shit. But guess what? They're right again. If you're that biased, you're not supposed to sit on the jury. You're supposed to tell the judge, yeah, I probably can't be fair in this case. You're not supposed to like go into the weeds and say, I'm going to lay the wood to this son of a bitch. I'm going to be part of getting this right, Roger Stone. What did Roger Stone even do? I didn't even know, right? And he's going to get 9 years for some bullshit. 9 years in prison for something he did, right? And Hunter Biden is a billionaire. That's right, right? Wrong. Right? Anyway, so that's in the news. And I have some audio for that I want to play. And then there's all the DOD news that we'll get to as well. Stars and Stripes going out of business. And again, it's painful because it's a part of our nostalgia. You know, we wax nostalgic about Stars and Stripes and their history, but is it needed? I mean, I have things I've never heard while deployed. Damn it, where the hell's Stars and Stripes? You know, never heard that. I mean, I used to hear it. You know, are we going to get a newspaper anytime soon? Or who's got the newspaper? But that was in the 80s. That was in the 80s. Yeah, we don't do that anymore. So there's the MWR tent, you know. And depending on where you are, it might have one or two computers, or it might have, you know, 30. And you go down there and read the news. And again, things I've never heard when somebody comes back from doing that. Hey, man, you know what I saw in Stars and Stripes today? Yeah, I haven't heard that. So anyway, it's hard to make a case for the continuation of federal funding of Stars and Stripes when I don't think we're not there anymore. And coincidentally, the story about the newspaper business, right? Newspapers are dead. So why don't we'll start with newspapers are dead, because that was like a very graceful transition on my part. Totally unintentional, I might add. But we'll start there. McClatchy newspaper files for bankruptcy protection. The publisher of the Miami Herald, the Kansas City Star, and dozens of other newspapers across the country is filing for bankruptcy protection. Let's see. That's the Miami Herald. Let's see. The publisher's origins date back to 1857. This is the McClatchy newspaper business, right? When it first began publishing a four-page paper in Sacramento, California. after the gold rush. The paper became the Sacramento Bee. Boom! Yeah, how about that? I would have crushed that shit on Jeopardy. McClatchy has received $50 billion debtor-in-possession financing from Encina Business Credit. That, combined with normal operating cash flows, will provide enough cash for the company, still based in Sacramento, to continue to function. Quote, when local media suffers in the face of industry challenges, communities suffer, polarization grows, civic connections fray, and borrowing costs rise for local governments, CEO Craig Foreman said. Quote, we are moving with speed and focus to benefit all our stakeholders and our communities. McClatchy expects fourth quarter revenue of $183.9 million, down 14% from a year earlier. Its 2019 revenue is anticipated to be down 12% from the previous year. That would mean that the publisher's revenue will have slid for six consecutive years. How about that? The company expects to pull its listing from the New York Stock Exchange as a publicly traded company and go private. McClatchy filed for bankruptcy protection in the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York. Its restructuring plan needs approval from its secured lenders, bondholders, and Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. McClatchy has suffered as readers give up traditional subscriptions, get news online, and like other publications, it's tried to follow them there. So, again, that's the bane of, you know, many communities, right? Is that these large news aggregates crush them. So where do you go for local news? That's the question. What happens to local news when you don't have a local newspaper anymore? Right? Who covers City Hall? Who does all that? Is that just done by, you know, the local retired people who go down and sit at the meetings and then they post? So to me, it's a real problem in the country, right? It's a real problem in the country. And, you know, what happens? You know, how does the Sacramento Bee or the Grand Forks Herald or the Orange County Register compete? And then you lose all local news reporting. Is that a good thing for the country? I don't think it is. I don't think it's a good thing for any. And what you lose really is the oversight that newspapers provide, both good and bad, for government and a view on local issues and the editorials on local issues. And so to me, this is not a good thing. And I don't know if there needs to be some kind of legislation. I don't know if there needs to be something carved out, right? But the death of the local newspaper, probably not a good thing, right? So the news is run by who? Google? The Washington Post, the New York Times. You have these major news monoliths and nobody, you know, values local content anymore. I don't think that's a good thing. This is from Yahoo Finance. Charles Munger, who's a newspaper company executive as well as a Berkshire Hathaway, right, vice chairman, says U.S. newspapers have no future. How about that? Quote, technological change is destroying the daily newspaper in America, Munger, 96, said Wednesday in Los Angeles at the annual meeting of Daily Journal Corp, the publishing company where he is the chairman. Quote, the revenue goes away and the expenses remain and they're all dying. Berkshire, as we all know, is a conglomerate controlled by Warren Buffett, announced last month it would sell off all of its newspaper holdings. Buffett, a fan of newspapers since he was a boy, has lamented the decline of the industry as it suffered plummeting readership, ad competition from the web, and newsroom cutbacks. He said last year that most newspapers are toast. Quote, they're all going to die, Munger said on Wednesday. It's a sad thing. He named a few exceptions. The New York Times, the Wall Street Journal is also likely to survive. Any pain that the Daily Journal faces from the decline in newspapers can be mitigated because it owns a bank-heavy portfolio of stock, Munger said. The company also sells software and other tools to U.S. courts. So, yeah, the newspaper business. No bueno, man. Next, John Kelly. Now, what's interesting, somebody sent me a text this morning and said, the president's going to get after Kelly today. And I said, well, if you read the things that Kelly says, Kelly's critical, right? The headline in The Atlantic says, John Kelly finally lets loose on Trump. No, he doesn't, right? He talks about, Kelly very selectively talks about issues, okay? So this happened in Morristown, New Jersey, right? He appeared at Drew University on Wednesday night. First paragraph. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the former National Security Council aide and impeachment witness President Donald Trump fired last Friday, was just doing his job, former Chief of Staff John Kelly told students and guests at Drew University on Wednesday night. In a 75-minute speech and then question and answer period, Kelly laid out in the clearest terms yet his misgivings about Trump's words and actions regarding North Korea, illegal immigration, military discipline, the Ukraine, and the news media. Kelly said that Vindman was blameless and was simply following the training he'd received as a soldier. He said, migrants are overwhelmingly good people and not all rapists, as the president tweeted. Trump's decision to condition military aid to the Ukraine on an investigation into a political rival upended longstanding U.S. policy. Vindman was rightly disturbed by Trump's phone call to the president of the Ukraine, his last name is Zelensky, in July. Kelly suggested having seen something questionable, Vindman properly notified his superiors. Vindman, who specialized in Ukraine policy at the National Security Council, was among multiple U.S. officials who listened to the call. When subpoenaed by Congress in the House impeachment hearings, Vindman complied and told the truth, Kelly said. Quote, he did exactly what we teach them to do from cradle to grave, Kelly told the audience. He went and told his boss what he had heard. Kelly went on to make it clear that Trump indeed conditioned military aid on Zelensky's help digging up dirt on Biden. That amounted to a momentous change in U.S. policy towards Ukraine, one that Vindman was right to flag because other federal agencies needed to know about the shift, Kelly said. Quote, through the Obama administration up until the phone call, the policy of the U.S. was military, of the U.S. military was support the Ukraine in their defensive fight against the Russians, Kelly said. And so when the president said that continued support would be based on X, that essentially changed. And that's what the guy, Vindman, was most interested in. When Vindman heard the president tell Zelensky he wanted to see the Biden family investigated, that was tantamount to hearing an illegal order, Kelly said. We teach them, don't follow an illegal order. And if you're ever given one, you'll raise it to whoever gives it to you, and that is an illegal order, and then tell your boss. Okay, so he talks about Vindman, right, and the issue. So it's interesting the way Kelly does this. He talks about North Korea, quote, he will never give up his nuclear weapons, Kelly said. Again, President Trump tried. That's one way to put it. But it didn't work. I'm an optimist most of the time, but I'm also a realist. And I never think Kim will do anything other than play us for a while. And he did that fairly effectively. Kelly didn't know Trump when, after the 2016 election, he was first offered the job of Department of Homeland Security. Watching the contest between Trump and Hillary Clinton, Kelly said he had been fascinated, not necessarily in a good way, but fascinated as to what the election meant to our country. He said his wife urged him to accept the position. Quote, I frankly think, this is Karen Kelly, according to her husband, I frankly think he needs you and people like you. At times, Kelly on Wednesday sounded like the anti-Trump. He said he did not believe the press is, quote, the enemy of the people, for example. And he sharply criticized Russian President Vladimir Putin, who Trump has steadfastly courted. Kelly described Putin as someone who is, quote, not necessarily a rational actor. Putin sits atop a society in collapse, yet is intent on restoring the glory days of the Soviet Union, he said. And again, I mean, you've heard us talk about that, right? Russia is not all that. Putin runs around the world playing Dr. Evil, and he's really good at it. At DAS, Kelly was responsible for advancing two of Trump's top priorities, stopping the flow of illegal immigration and building a border wall. Kelly has often said, a border wall does not need to extend from sea to shining sea. And he also disagreed with the president relative to his characterization in a tweet that people coming from Mexico were rapists and criminals. Kelly said most migrants are looking for jobs. In fact, they're overwhelmingly good people. And it's wrong to characterize them in any other way. I disagreed with the president a number of times. Responding to to questions from the audience, Kelly faulted Trump for intervening in the case of Eddie Gallagher, a Navy SEAL, who was convicted last year of posing with the corpse of an Islamic State fighter. Quote, the idea that the commander-in-chief intervened there, in my opinion, was exactly the wrong thing to do, Kelly said. Had I been there, I think I could have prevented it. The audience applauded. When a woman in the crowd said that Trump had elevated Gallagher, Kelly looked out at the crowd and said, yep. Anyway, John Kelly, pretty normal guy, pretty plain-spoken guy, and a smart guy. So it's interesting. It's interesting. I want to talk about the War Powers Act. Headline, Senate to rein in Trump's war powers after Iran strike. Well, that's actually not true, right? Tim Kaine, Democrat from Virginia, is bringing to the House yesterday with a vote today on a resolution that would attempt to limit the president's ability to his war powers ability, right? While the measure is not likely to garner enough support to overturn a likely Trump veto, its expected passage in the Senate nevertheless illustrates a rare congressional effort to rein in the president's executive authority. Now, here's what's interesting. As a Republican, and I'll read to you the names of Republicans that are expected to support it. As a Republican, your name's going to go on this thing, right? You know you don't have the votes to override the president's veto, assuming the House would pass it. And so as a result, this is just kind of, you're making a public statement. Okay, that's what you're doing. In addition to all 47 Democrats, the measure so far has support from Senate Republicans Susan Collins of Maine, Todd Young of Indiana, Mike Lee of Utah, Rand Paul of Kentucky, and Jerry Moran of Kansas. The Democratic senators running for president are expected to be in Washington for the vote on Thursday, ensuring that the 51-vote threshold for the War Powers resolution will be met. Okay. The president has obviously attacked this. Quote, the Democrats are only doing this as an attempt to embarrass the Republican Party. Don't let it happen, Trump tweeted yesterday. He also urged GOP senators to vote against Kaine's resolution, arguing that it sends a very bad signal and Iran would have a field day with it, which, you know, to be honest, is true. So, but evidently senators are a little bit nervous about what the president did relative to Mr. Soleimani, and then he turned around and threatened Iran. Interesting enough, though, I haven't heard too much from Iran since then, right? Now, I want to talk about the Roger Stone thing. Again, I'm not really sure what Roger Stone even did. Okay. So, but the sequence of this is this woman, her name is Tamika Hart. She's the former Memphis City School Board president. She revealed yesterday that she was the foreperson on Roger Stone's jury. Now, again, I said I hate when Sean Hannity's right about the deep state and about those kind of things. But even me, right, when I saw Roger Stone 9 years is recommended, I'm like, what? Like, are you kidding me? But anyway, yeah. Yeah, there's guys who get convicted of aggravated assault that don't go to prison for 9 years. All right, so now, then again, as I said earlier, people, what do they start doing? They start drilling into your social media accounts, and she's got them. All right. And so there's this guy, the guy who posted a bunch of the stuff from her account. He's an independent journalist named Mike Cernovich. Okay. First reported that a slew of Hart's publicly available Twitter and Facebook posts readily suggest a strong political bias. Some of Hart's posts were written as Stone's trial was in progress, right? I mean, this shit is crazy. You're not supposed to do that kind of stuff, right? So anyway, it's so this is Judge Napolitano talking about. Now, you're going to hear him say he's known Roger Stone for a long time. So again, take that for what it's worth. But here's Judge Napolitano this morning. I promise. Or maybe it's not. Damn it. All right, hold on. Let me reload the page.
We've toiled and triumphed. We've fought for justice and freed a continent. But our greatest achievement is in your hands. America is watching.
Let me say at the outset that I have known Roger Stone for 40 years. I'm going to take that out of the equation. He's absolutely entitled to a new trial with a member of the jury making these kinds of revelations about the politics involved in the decisions to prosecute him. Before we even get to right. The propriety of the sentence and whether the president can weigh in on the sentence, I'll explain to you how that works. My views are the same as the former attorney general. Look, I've presided over 150 jury trials. It is the most were criminal.
Right.
It is the duty of the judge to ensure that both the government and the defendant get a fair trial. And if the judge discovers afterwards that there was a built-in inherent bias on the part of a member of the jury against the defendant,
right.
That is an automatic trigger for a new trial. She's going to have to call those jurors back in and interrogate them or make a decision on the spot.
Well, because after the prosecutors quit the case, this woman, Tamika Hart, former Memphis City School Board's president, announced she was the foreperson and she was supporting the prosecutors. But apparently, when you look at her social media, she has a long history of anti-Trump comments. The big question is whether or not they looked in during the jury selection process, looked at her social media history and her political views.
They obviously did not. She's entitled to whatever opinion
well,
she
did.
Wants, and she can put whatever she wants on social media. But she can't be a juror in a trial rife with the politics of Donald Trump and Roger Stone.
Judge, is 9 years too much? That's what they recommended.
Absolutely too much. You know, the Attorney General Whitaker was just explaining to you how the algorithm works, how you add aggravating and mitigating factors.
Right.
Those are subjective. Is Roger Stone a danger to society? Absolutely not. Was anybody harmed as a result of what Roger Stone did? Absolutely not. Is the President of the United States of America, who is the chief federal law enforcement officer in the land, entitled to express an opinion to his Attorney General about a case the DOJ is prosecuting? Of course he is. One of the greatest attorney generals in our lifetimes was the president's brother. Don't you think they talk to each other? When are you going to indict Jimmy Hoffa? I've been
right.
waiting for that for a long time. That would be a normal and expected conversation.
So the tweet is what drives
yes.
people. They say the tweet was provocative and a signal to AG Barr.
I agree with Senator Graham. The president should have done it sub rosa, should have picked up a phone and said, why are these guys recommending 9 years? Forget that I know Stone. I would give him probation. But forget, I'm speaking as if I were the president. Forget that I know him. Forget that he worked for me. 9 years is outrageous. Take care of this,
Wait
Bill.
A minute, Judge.
There's nothing wrong with that conversation.
So there you go. But, you know, what's amazing to me is how does that even happen? How does she get on the jury, let alone to be the jury foreman? And then you're going to have to hear the deep state craziness. But again, is it now craziness? Is it something that we all should be alert for after what we saw from the Federal Bureau of Investigation? After what we've seen at the Department of Justice, right? And then you look back on cases, you know, that weren't tried, you know? And should we believe that none of that was at work there? That, you know, Hillary Clinton was given way more latitude than any Republican would be because of the personal politics of the people at the DOJ and at the FBI? It's not supposed to be the way the country works, but I guess if you're not on guard for that, you're a rube now. You're a fool. So anyway, a lot of interesting stuff in the news from, again, the demise of the local newspapers is no bueno, man. It is not a good thing for the country, right? Less dialogue, less diverse discussion, right? Less local discussion of issues. What are you going to do? Go to a bulletin board to find out what happened at your city council meeting last night? You're going to go online and watch the video for, you know, 2 hours? No newspaper covers it anymore? That's not good. That's not good for anybody. So, I don't know. That's bad. All right. With that little preamble, the United States Marine Corps band makes this Thursday official. Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney will join us. We talk about a bunch of stuff. We update the Afghanistan story about the Green Berets getting ambushed. We talk about Turkey and Syria kind of, you know, dancing the dance. We talk about the Israelis have come up with this thing called the drone dome. Yeah. Like, remember, it was like, well, how will we defend against a swarm of drones? And they show how you do it. It's called radar and a laser. Zip, zip, zip. It's like mosquitoes falling out of the sky. Zip, 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 zip. Find it, cook it. Next one, 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 find it, cook it. Right? So now what do you do? What do you do with your drone fleet? Do you invest more money in them? Do you harden them? You make them bigger? No, anyway. So we talk about that a little bit. And then we talk about the commandant delivering his plan for the transformation of the Marine Corps to the Secretary of Defense and see if they have any thoughts on that. So you'll hear that in about, I don't know, 30 minutes, 35 minutes, something like that. So good morning to you. Thanks for listening to All Marine Radio here on a Thursday. It is the 13th day of February. It is leap year, so there'll be 29 days in the month in case you don't know that. That's right. That's a public service announcement, courtesy of me, because I happened to look that up a couple weeks ago. And I might even do Today in History. In fact, I'll put these little... I have about 2 weeks worth of Today in History that I need to go through. So we'll probably do that today, because my daughter gave me a calendar from the History Channel, and it's sitting on my desk. And Yeah, today in history, on February 13th, in 1991, U.S. air raid in Baghdad killed 500 people. 500 people. I looked at that and I was like, what? Anyway, so good morning to you. And this is dedicated to some people who I can't really name because they're helping me do something. But they're instrumental in getting post-traumatic winning to a wider audience. And so for those of people that have done that, a lot of them remain nameless by hey, Mac, I know what you're doing. I'm astounded by the progress you made. I saw it a few months ago, and I want to help, but I really can't do it in public. So there's a bunch of people that help with post-traumatic winning, to say the least. And so this is dedicated to them. And God bless you. Thank you for what you do. And hopefully we'll keep doing bigger and better things.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So help me God. That's right. So help me God. Currently, it is, as we check the weather in Marine Land, cloudy and 51 in Quantico, Virginia, the crossroads of the Marine Corps, at Camp Lejeune, the home of 2MEF in the 2nd Marine Division. Mostly sunny and 75. 29 Palms, sunny and 50. Pendleton, sunny and 49. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy and 69. In Okinawa, dark cloudy 73, so they've warmed up. Afghanistan, still cold. Clear, dark, and 44 early in the evening. That means it'll get into the low 30s out overnight. And early in the evening in the city of mosques, Fallujah, in the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is clear, dark, and 56. Currently at the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, sunny and 52. Looking for high of 68. Yes. The wind chill is going to sit at 68 as well. Tomorrow, 68. And on Saturday, 71. Shithole weather update. Ohio man got a new job, so he can't play as much right now. He's getting his ass kicked. Chris Cox sent me a video. He's a GoPro guy, right? So he sent me a video of him and the crash he got into yesterday. Because we all know he doesn't, the guy, the son of a bitch, doesn't go to work. Yeah, he says he's got a job, but he never works. So anyway, so he's going down a trail. He takes like a little side trail, and then he comes back to the main trail. Boom, and then he and the other dude have a function. So I saw it, and I was like, dude, that's your fault. And he said, 60-40 or 40-60. I said, well, man. I'd say probably 50-50. But yeah, Cox and his GoPro, man. And you can hear him groaning. I'm like, suck it up, dude. Enough with the fucked up noises. Right? Man up. Oh, Ohio man's here today. That's awesome. The Ohio man, like the longest running emailer in the he's the longest running participant in the show. Yeah, he has approval rights of all others. So when he says, hey, cut off Cox, then Cox is done. He has yet to do that, but he's got that right. Anyway, from Chris Cox, shithole weather is in a weather stand down. It's in a weather caught stand down position. Webster, Massachusetts. Wednesday was nice, bright, and sunny. So today it's raining. 34 degrees right now, looking for a high of 37. Winds are out of the west at 10 miles an hour or less. Clearing then overnight cold. A nice Friday coming. Chris from Webster out. Yeah, I'll put the video. I got to write myself a note because I say these things and I don't do them. And then somebody, Mike Marletto says to me, you know, I look for these things and I don't know if it's my computer. I'm like, yeah, I sometimes forget to do that. So I'll write that down. Video. Cox's crash. All right. So I'll put that in this hour's post so you guys can watch it. And then you guys, we should have a poll, right? Whose fault was that? I think it's mutual combatants. Although when you deviate off the trail and then come back, it looks like to the main trail, I think you're merging. At that point, you got to take a look, man. So maybe it's I think it's Cox's fault now that I think about it. So anyway, shithole weather update from East Grand Forks, Minnesota. Yesterday, when you read shithole weather, I was actually in the middle of an online meeting. To clarify, the area that is cleared out in front of my house, we cleared it with a snowblower and a shovel, my friend. Oh. Well, see, I didn't think that was the case because the clearing line went up really high, higher than what a normal snowblower would do. So maybe it was just that she zoomed in on the picture and it looked higher than it was. I'm just a bit anal and like everything all neat and tidy and even. It's the little area out the front of the house where we let Zoe out to do her business. Oh, so it has... dog responsibilities. I am back in my office today. We have bright blue skies and frigid temperatures. Currently 26 degrees below zero. Wind chill is just 27 below because the wind is a paltry 5 miles an hour out of the west-southwest. Wind chill warning in effect till noon today. Wind chill could go as low as 45 below zero. It will be sunny and cold all day. Now, I used to talk about this is when the sun is only used for light and not heating, which doesn't happen on most of the planet, right? No precipitation in the forecast. Looking for a high of 12 below zero today. Low tonight, 16 below. So that would be a warming trend. Much quieter today than yesterday. Have an awesome day, Mac. No picture. Nice, Roseanne. From Nancy in Pleasantville. It's snowing in 32 on the way to 36. Overnight low 16 degrees. Winds out of the northwest at 5. 2 to 5 inches of snow on the ground. Oh, 2 to 3 inches of snow today with 5 inches of snow on the ground already. Erie is not having snow, but otherwise copycats again. And the picture from the school observatory. Erie copying all the time. Now, from Saskatchewan, right? So northwest of East Grand Forks, Minnesota. Good morning and happy Thursday, Matt. Clear skies and a southeast wind at 9 in Churchbridge today. The air temperature this morning is 24 below, feels like 40 below. Over the next 6 hours, the temperature will rise a total of 26 degrees and leave us with an afternoon high of zero. How exciting is that? Yeah, zero. And it'll feel like 17 below. A friend from my hometown, which is 148 miles north of Minot, sent me this glorious morning sunrise photo from Arcola, Saskatchewan, or Arcola. And it's a beautiful picture of the sunrise in a small farm town. And somebody still has their Christmas lights up. Now, I will tell you this. In the northern tier, like unlike the southern tier, like in the southern tier where you don't have snow, your Christmas lights need to come down by the first week in January. In the northern country, getting up on the roof, that's a no-go, bro. That ain't happening. So, but when the first significant warm weather comes up, then you'll see people take them down. And if yours are up beyond that, you're a loser. Okay? From Vacaville, California. Good morning, Mac. Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville with no picture. Oh, there is a picture. Why isn't it showing up? It's 38 degrees, clear and cold. Winds are 5 to 9 out of the southwest. Looking for a high of 67. I'm sure Cox is on the beach in Bali by the time you read this. Be well. Yeah, Dave is like not pleased that Cox does not work, although he says he has a job. Mason says, I am here. He sent me an email last night. Martha, what's her face? What's her name? Martha, I want to say Martha Montgomery, but that's not her name. Martha what? Martha McCollum. McCallum? Yeah. She does. She comes on after Brett Baer. You know, Kelly says he made a comment. It says he slams Fox News, but he doesn't. What he says is if you're only getting your news from one source, right? If you're only getting your news from one source, that's a problem, right? And we've talked about that. Where do you get your news? And you got to kind of get it from all over. But if you notice, let me tell you, when Kelly would want to get the word out, you know who he would go through? Brett Baer, Fox News dude. Fair and balanced, as Brett Baer says. But yeah, that's I don't want to say he's Kelly's guy, but you know, when you're looking to make sure that you can get something out fairly, and you got to do it with somebody you trust so they don't turn it into something it's not, then the circle of trust relative to the media shrinks. Right, you saw General Mattis do that with David. What's that guy's name? I want to say Gregory, but I don't know if that's the right guy. I think David Gregory is a different guy. Longtime guy. I want to say reporter for CBS, but that's where General Mattis. You know, again, it's somebody that you've known for years, somebody whose work you've watched for years, somebody that does their job as a pro, and that's not many people in the media these days. From Vacaville, snowblower. What the hell is that? You could look it up on the internet, yeah, if you wanted to. Okay, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll do some news headlines as we head towards the Lynch and Kenny event that will take place here. I don't know. It might be a little bit later than normal as we kind of wade through the news a little bit. So don't touch that dial. More of Allman Radio on a Thursday edition right here on the All-Warrior, the awesome, right, and powerful, I'm supposed to say Oz. In fact, Jeff Kenny talks about the Wizard of Oz today. And in the segment we recorded last night, you know, he comes, like, where he gets this stuff, I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, don't touch that dial. More of this great programming coming up next right here on the All-Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You know, I have a problem. Jackson Brown.
And you see the life that you've left behind. When you think it over, do you ever wonder what it is?
Here it comes.
So close to mine. You love the thunder and you love the rain. But you see me living, the anger is worth the pain.
Save your fucking email.
Before the lightning fades and you surrender. You've got a second to look at the dark side.
Someday when you have a radio show, you could sing on it. Jackson Browne, you love the thunder. When I think of thunder, I think of artillery. This is an awesome song, come on. Making your commute a little bit easier today. And the crazy longing that time will never take. You love the thunder. Here's an email. Why the media is being disregarded? They pick and choose quotes to push headlines to fit their agenda. So newspapers are not the only news sources that are dying. Whoa. That's from a woman in Alabama. Her name is Libby. I heard Libby for about an hour last week. The quote I play from Libby is about 4 minutes long, and I heard it 12 times. Yeah. Libby talking about old Luke Luther Jr., after he was emailing me, and I called him up and said, hey, you got to stop drinking. And he said, yeah, I know. And I said, no, I'm giving you an order. Right. And I tell that story, and then I play the audio from Libby. I said, but I want you to hear from his mother. Right. And the funny part of post-traumatic winning, is that, you know, all the stuff I learned, you know, now, you know, I talk about Viktor Frankl stuff. I didn't know anything about Viktor Frankl. All the stuff I learned, like the giving part of it, you know, when people ask me, like, well, where did that come from? I said, a Marine's mom taught me. Libby taught me that. Like, what? I'm like, yeah. Well, that's Viktor Frankl. Well, I don't even, that's good because I don't know who that motherfucker is. But yeah, it's kind of funny. So, but I like it more because I learned it from my culture. All right, to the news we go from the newly defunded Stars and Stripes. In a standoff with Iran, Navy sailors say the threat level was unlike anything they've seen in years. What does that mean? Aboard the USS Normandy in the North Arabian Sea, the captain of this warship, loaded with Tomahawk missiles, delivered the news to his crew. Hours earlier, the United States had killed Iran's most powerful military commander with a drone strike. Navy Captain Christopher Stone said it wasn't clear how Iran might respond to the deaths of Qassem Soleimani, but the Normandy escorting the USS Harry Truman near the Persian Gulf had to be ready to react to anything. We must be prepared for direct military action, Stone recalled telling the crew, right? And that's when everybody's ass puckered. Well, welcome to the club, boys and girls. It's time that you guys experience a little bit of that shit. Yeah. So tighten your shit up, man. So that's one. Next headline. U.S. Admiral hopes the Philippine Security Pact can be saved. So we're going to see if President Duterte is serious about this, or is he just kind of trying to out-Trump Trump. From Australia, Canberra. The move by the Philippines to end a security pact that allows U.S. forces to train in the country potentially challenged future American operations with Filipino forces, said a U.S. admiral on Thursday. Admiral Phil Davidson, commander of U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, told a foreign policy think tank in Sydney that he hoped the U.S. State Department would be able to negotiate a solution that would keep the visiting forces agreement in place. It's a 180-day notice, so we have time for diplomatic efforts to pursue here. I hope we can get to a successful outcome. So again, is it just like, let's out-Trump the Trump? In a related story, U.S. and the Philippines still expected to hold spring Balikatan drills despite a security rift. So this has been an exercise that's gone on for a long time, right? Every spring for 35 years. However, Philippine officials announced Tuesday that they had notified the U.S. Embassy in Manila of their intention to terminate the visiting forces agreement. Now, if you read other stories that are coming out of the Philippines, they are not good with this, right? Like their president, whose popularity kind of, rises and flows with current events, is one thing. The relationship between the Philippines and the United States has been an enduring relationship, with the Philippines since prior to World War I, right? Since the Spanish-American War. And now this kook is gonna tear that up. So, when you read editorials out of the Philippines, they're not good with it. So we'll see what happens. Camp Pendleton Marine Raiders will move to North Carolina by 2022, according to Marine Corps officials. The move means that all personnel with Marine Corps Special Operations Command will be based at Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville, North Carolina, or according to a Special Operations Command statement. We should get Andy Milburn on to ask him about this. About 900 Marine sailors and civilian employees attached to the 1st Marine Raider Battalion and the 1st Marine Raider Support Battalion at Camp Pendleton will start the move in the summer of 2021. The statement said they will join the 2nd and 3rd Marine Raider Battalions already based at Camp Lejeune. Locating its Special Operations Battalion in one place will have significant impacts to time and money, according to the statement. So anyhow, that in the news. Max Thornberry, representative type, senior Republican on the House Armed Service Committee, is uneasy with the Pentagon plan relative to shipbuilding. He supports fully funding the nuclear triad. House Armed Service Committee's top Republican has heartburn over the proposed shipbuilding budget for fiscal year 2021, but is also committed to fully funding the modernization of the nuclear triad and is acutely aware of a congressionally imposed top line for defense spending next year. So, yeah, so this is the Navy plan being rolled out for Congress and congressmen saying, yeah, I'm not good with it, which has interesting implications for the Marine plan, right? So that in the news. Elsewhere, here's the Marine Corps' plan for sinking Chinese ships with drone missile launchers. The U.S. Marine Corps is getting into the ship-killing business, and a new project in development is aimed at making their dreams of harrying the People's Liberation Army Navy a reality. Highlighted in the Navy's 2021 budget, the Marine Corps is looking to pair existing vehicle designs, existing anti-ship missiles, and a launcher to create the ground-based anti-ship missile and remotely operated ground unit expeditionary fires vehicle called the Rogue, R-O-G-U-E. How about that? The Navy is requesting about $64 million for the project, according to documents. The program is an evolution of the Navy Marine Corps Expeditionary Ship Interdiction Program that brought together anti-ship missiles with the Marine Corps High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, known as HIMARS. Right? The Marines have been specifically eyeing the Kongsberg Raytheon Naval Strike Missile, which was deployed to the Pacific last year on the littoral combat ship Gabriel Giffords. The plan for the Rogue Fires vehicle is to develop an unmanned ground vehicle built on the chassis of the Army's Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, as well as, that's the new one, right? The new replacement for the Humvee, as well as a launcher that's capable of mounting a wide range of missile systems, according to the Navy's budget book. Yeah, so the Marine Corps are going to be in the rocket security business. Just yesterday, we had a team and that has the naval strike missile on LCS working hand in hand with the Marine Corps. The Marine Corps does ground launchers. We do command and control. We'll make that immediately available to the Marine Corps. So, yeah, there you have it. Marine Corps of the future. Security for Rocketeers. Top stories in Early Bird. Hold on. Is this hate mail I'm getting? Or what am I getting? What's going on here? This story brings up Kelly's wife. Trump says John Kelly must keep his mouth shut after ex-chief of staff said Vindman did the right thing. This is as of how many minutes ago? 11:46 Eastern Standard Time. So this is less than an hour old, or an hour and 15 minutes, 20 minutes old. President Donald Trump blasted his former chief of staff, John Kelly, on Thursday after the ex-top aide said Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman did the right thing in reporting his concerns about Trump's July 25th call with the Ukrainian president. When I terminated John Kelly, which I couldn't do fast enough, he knew full well that he was in way over his head, Trump tweeted. Being chief of staff just wasn't for him. He came in with a bang and went out with a whimper, like so many exes. He misses the action and just can't keep his mouth shut, which he actually has a military and legal obligation to do. His incredible wife, Karen, who I have a lot of respect for, once pulled me aside and said strongly that John respects you greatly. When we are no longer here, he will only speak well of you. Then Trump said, wrong. It's not like you don't know what you're going to get from the president, right? So, yeah, thank you whoever found that out. So, yeah, with predictability. So, but again, the president, right, let me just tell you, here's my opinion. Kelly knows a lot more than he said. So this is like the dance they do publicly, right? So Kelly says this, right? Kelly says what he said. Trump blasts him about his comments, right, and says he couldn't get him out of there quick enough. And that's where it stops. Doesn't go further than that. Because Trump knows Kelly's got a whole lot more if he wants to vent his spleen. So anyway, the dance of the iguana. Top five stories in Early Bird, then we'll get to Lynch and Kenny. Number one, NATO eyes boosting Iraq army training, still needs Iraq's okay. I'll be curious to see that. NATO going to up its presence. Interesting. All right. Interesting. Right. Interesting. Number two, Senate to rein in Trump's war powers after Iran strike. You know, it's a total bullshit headline. The Senate's going to pass a resolution. It won't become law because they don't have the votes to override the president's veto. Right. So the president or the Senate is like throwing up smoke that is never going to amount to anything other than, you know, a news blip. It's not, in fact, going to rein in Trump's war powers, right? Number three, American troops clash with pro-government group in northeastern Syria. This is the same story, right? And again, so if you could imagine being in a convoy in northeastern Syria and all of a sudden you're going to be held up in some village or at some checkpoint by somebody, the longer you sit in one place, the more likely somebody's going to shoot an RPG at you or a weapon at you or whatnot, right? The convoy defends itself when people start climbing on the vehicles and ripping off American flags and shit. Like, so how they get even into that situation, you're already like, you know, knees deep in a bad situation. Anyway, number four, U.S. military preparing for the coronavirus pandemic. Let me tell you, man, the coronavirus, like, is everywhere, right? It's everywhere. It is like the media cannot get enough of the coronavirus. Number five, after decades focused on terrorism, special operations is broadening its horizons. This is a story that's been around for like 3 days. So, yeah, as those missions wind down, now what do we do? Overseas operations, anything new, right? From Reuters, President Trump says he does not mind if the Philippines cuts its military pact with the United States. So this is, again, this was precipitated by the Trump administration denying a visa to one of President Duterte's buddies. And the president's going to play brinksmanship with him. He knows that the Philippine government, right, aside from the president, is not in. And the Philippine people do not like this move. So he's going to play chicken with Duterte. Yeah, well, hey, we don't care. Go ahead. Go to the Chinese. See what happens. Next story. Will leaving Afghanistan cause another 9/11? Question mark. Former soldiers and diplomats say no, not necessarily. What do you mean not necessarily? Like they fucking know. Come on. Could it? It absolutely could. Right? The Taliban, you know, they take over the rural areas. They want to let Al-Qaeda train. Right? There? Then what do you mean? Not necessarily. Absolutely. The same conditions exist. You don't control the outlying areas of the nation. That's where Al-Qaeda went before. That's where Osama bin Laden went. Made a deal with somebody. Hey, we're going to be here. We'll pay you money. Just leave us alone. Right? Right? And that's how it works. Okay. So, yeah. Not necessarily. I think that's it. All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Ms. Sears, Lynch, and Kenny waxing eloquent today. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, the Lynch and Kenny segment, right after this here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.